Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week we've got a bunch of new movies coming out. We actually have quite a few that are opening wide. You've got Cloud Atlas, which is the Wachowskis and Tom Twyker's new movie, Chasing Mavericks, which is about surfing, because what else would you watch in October?
Of course.
Fun Size, which is not about me. I'm fun-sized.
Is that what we're calling it these days?
Well, that's what I like to call it.
Okay.
Silent Hill Revelation. And we'll also be talking about DVDs and Blu-rays and a little bit of Halloween stuff, because this is the last weekend before Halloween.
Yes.
So get your slutty cupcake outfit.
Oh, ready. She's ready.
She ready?
She's ready.
I tried out my costume.
Did you?
Bane who let himself go.
Did a practice run.
I did, and it looked awesome. Did you see my picture? I put it on Facebook.
No.
Oh,
I
haven't seen
it.
I'll have to
look.
Show it to
okay.
You. Let's put it this way. It's going to be during trick or treat in where we are in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a high of 49 that day.
Right.
So I'm going to need to wear more clothes. So I have to adjust the costume so I won't freeze to death.
Where I grew up, we wore winter coats on Halloween most of the time. You know, we'd have our little Halloween costumes mm-hmm. and, you know, covered in our snowsuits because sometimes it would snow on Halloween.
The slutty snowsuits?
Yes.
Yes, slutty snowsuits. But my Bane costume, because I would just have, like, boxer shorts on.
Nice.
And I have to, I think I'm going to wear, like, sweats
That's a terrifying
underneath
thought.
It. Well, I'm going to show you the, you already asked, so you cannot renege on asking to see the picture of it.
It's true.
So, you'll see Bane
it's
who
my
let
own
himself
fault.
Go. But I took it, because I had to do a test run, because I dressed up for that, I did a horror movie marathon.
Right.
You know, we did the Monsterthon a couple weeks ago.
You've been very busy with the horror movies lately.
It is insane, being a horror fan in October.
Yeah.
It's so busy. Then it gets to award season. I'm like, none of that crap. I don't want to see these snooty movies about people who, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some weird speaking British royal movie coming up. Is there a weird speaking British royal movie coming
up? I'm sure
up?
There is. At least one. Probably yeah. Two. They're usually, you know, in December, that's when the Nazis come out. They're usually Nazis, Nazi movies in
that's
December.
Right.
Yeah, you know, movies like that. What else? What else do we usually get in December?
Well, there's
a lot of people die.
There's a lot of people dying. There's always the award bait movie that some actor is like who no one takes seriously is like, I'm going to do my award bait movie, and it's all very serious and has them weeping and just struggling to act, and it's so obvious that the only reason this movie exists is to actually give them a chance to win an award.
And usually there's a Hilary Swank movie when she's.
There's Michelle Williams.
Usually Hilary Swank comes out this time of year.
Yeah, you usually get, it's sort of like Halloween, but, I mean, it is Halloween, but it's like all the celebrity movies are coming out with the standard costumes. You got the George Clooney movie, you got the Meryl Streep movie,
mm-hmm.
Michelle Williams, Viola Davis. You get all these people that are like, I'm going to do a movie now.
They
Clint Eastwood used
out.
To always do it.
It's true. Well,
does he
you know.
Have a movie coming out?
No, he's been working on...
He did the Trouble with the Chair, or rather, Trouble with the Curve, a couple months ago, which
wasn't
that.
He working on A Star is Born with
That's
Beyonce,
right.
And then they had to put it on hold because then she got pregnant.
She got
and,
pregos.
Yeah. That a, ruins everything, let me tell you.
Women, keep it in your pants. All right, anyways, at least for the sake of Hollywood, for the sake of Hollywood.
It's true.
You know, for the sake of my entertainment, please don't get pregnant, unless I'm involved. I'm not saying, I mean, you know, hey. You can email. You know what? That's a great transition. Because if you want to get pregnant, I can be there to help you out. And here's how you can get a hold of us.
It is starting awfully early this week. Can't we at least keep listeners until like the second segment?
Well, no. No.
Okay.
It's against my religion. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And if you want to reach us and, you know, talk about whether or not you want to get pregnant, you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com. We might be getting a little bit of a facelift. We're going to be putting some more, getting Kristen involved more on the website.
Well.
Which will make it...
We'll pretty the place up a little bit.
Give it a softer touch.
Mm-hmm. we'll put some pink flowers.
Curtains. and
a nice valance.
What is that? What are these names, people? Have you ever had people say, well, I was sitting on the Davenport the other day.
Nice.
Davenport?
It's true.
That sounds like a H.P. Lovecraft town that gets overrun by, like, octopus monsters.
Ooh. I'd like to see that.
Actually, that's a great idea.
The Davenport and the octopus monsters.
Speaking of great ideas, I had a great idea for a zombie apocalypse thing, but I'm not going to tell it because...
Oh, well, somebody might steal it.
Somebody would steal it. It's a great idea, actually. I'll tell it to you off the air.
Okay.
And then when we come back in the next segment, you can
and
say...
And then I'll talk about it.
Yeah, and I'll be like, no! And I'll just leap across the magical studio in the sky and push you out the window.
Because you know, there aren't any windows in here, actually.
Well, we're in the sky. I'll make a window.
That's what you can do in a magical studio.
It's magical.
Oh, it's a window.
Anyways, you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM, and you can get us on Twitter. Twitter? Oh, my goodness. Twitter.com/Kevin Carr. And, you know, Kristen moved into the modern universe.
I did. And there was a gun to my head the entire time. We were sitting there, and Kevin said, here, let me pull this up. Let me hold your fingers on the keys. While you type it in.
And you're like, no, stop.
No, I'm not going to do it.
But you did.
I'm not going to join Twitter.
Well, what's funny is you sent me an email. We talked about this last week about how you were trying to get on Twitter. And you sent me an email going, I can't find a Twitter name. I can't find a handle. And like the second one I tried.
It's true. We did take about 30 seconds to find one.
I'm like, how about KDK Reviews? And it was available.
Yeah.
So that is where you can get Kristen on Twitter.
You can find me if I'm there.
If she's there.
Although I could be there all night because... The first night, I was there all night.
You were sort of stuck on there. It's kind of
fascinating.
It was
terrible, and I couldn't sleep, and I, like, pulled my phone into the bathroom while I was getting ready for bed. It was terrible.
Like, I gotta see if somebody replied to my awesome comment.
How many people are following me now? My mom was sitting on the couch going, oh, how many people are following you now? She doesn't even know what Twitter is.
And she's so like, 27?
Yeah.
You're gonna get attacked in your front yard.
It could happen.
Yes. Did you have any other contact information where you want anyone to reach
you? Well, you can find me on nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Yep. And soon you'll see more of her on fatguysinthemovies.com. You're listening to fatguysinthemovies.com, or you're listening to fatguysinthemovies. You're not listening to the .com. Well, you might
be. You might be.
I don't know. It happens. Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Our first movie we're going to talk about kind of briefly because they didn't screen much this week.
Yeah. It's one of those weeks.
I said this last week. They had some really good weeks in October.
Yeah.
And this is the corrective surgery.
You know, I think the one movie that we did see this week, though, made up for all of the ones that we missed.
There's six
movies. Because we did see several movies in one.
Yes.
Yes.
But we're not going to talk about that yet. We're going to talk about Silent Hill Revelation in 3D. A young woman heads to a deserted coal mining town to find demons and ghosts in the sequel to the 2006 video game adaptation.
Me and my dad, we move around. This is the fifth school I've been to since I was 11.
What's going on?
I know that symbol. This is it.
Do you know what that is?
Where is my father?
The darkness is coming. It's safer to be inside. Run!
Have you seen the 2006 video game adaptation?
No. Does that surprise you?
Not at all, because it's not your cup of tea. They screened that one, but they screened it
Did
10
they?
O'clock on a Thursday night.
Oh,
I remember this well because they screened The Sentinel, that box office massive hit with Michael Douglas and Ava Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
She did a movie with those guys.
Oh, she did a couple, and they were spectacular.
What was that one where she was the ghost?
Over her dead body.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, it was awesomely bad.
It was so awful. But they did screen it, but they screened they screened The Sentinel at 7:30, and I think they started screening Silent Hill at 9, and they didn't wait till 10. For some reason, they overlapped. So I walked out in the middle of The Sentinel.
I
missed the last 20 minutes or so. And then I got it on DVD, and I'm like, I didn't miss much. And then I saw Silent Hill. But Silent Hill was interesting. They didn't screen this, which is not a big surprise because they don't screen horror movies all that much.
Not so much, no.
What's interesting is I rewatched Silent Hill because I had to do a drinking game for Film School Rejects.
Yes.
And that was my choice. And I have to say, it held up better than I thought it would. The movie, at least the first one, was very well done in terms of design and effects and production value. It looks really cool. The story's a little bit shaky.
Yeah.
But it's a video game adaptation.
Right.
It was right
what
in the middle.
What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it was right in the middle of the Uwe Boll revolution.
Right.
And when you compare it to those, it's way better. Of course, then again, there's a lot of things.
I'm not entirely sure what isn't better than that.
My four-year-old.
I'm just saying.
My four-year-old can make a movie better. So it gets a preemptive suck because we didn't see it screen it. Take that, studios.
Yeah.
When it doesn't do much money, you can blame us. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about Fun Size Chasing Mavericks and Cloud Atlas.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Yay.
So what do we have up next?
Well, we've got a new movie from Nickelodeon. It's called Fun Size.
Nice.
And it's about me. I'm fun sized.
We've been through this.
We've been through this. Why am I repeating jokes? Because I think it's awesome. Anyways, Fun Size stars Victoria Justice as a girl whose brother she has to take along to a Halloween party, and then she loses him, and it's an all-night shenanigan to get him back.
It's all falling into place. Invited to Erin Riley's party, costume figured out, which just leaves my little brother...
Albert!
Whatever. For once, he's not my problem.
Oh, no, I forgot to tell you. You're going to watch Albert tonight.
No, Mom, the party! Don't do this to me!
I love you, thank you, you're welcome.
This sucks. I can't believe we're missing the party. It's Erin. A smiley face emoticon.
Where's Albert? Albert! Albert! Albert!
My mom is gonna kill me.
This is an interesting movie, not necessarily for the movie itself, but kind of what's going on around it.
Okay.
They didn't screen it.
Nope.
Oddly enough, do you know where it was shot and takes place?
No.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Really?
Cleveland, Ohio. I do radio in Cleveland, Ohio, and they didn't make a point to get the movie screened for me. Which
That's
I
amazing.
Find,
so they didn't even screen it in Cleveland.
They may have, because I remember I emailed.
Oh, but you would have known.
I think I said, is it, because I knew I wasn't going to drive up this past week to go see it. And because I'm just busy, and I had other movies this week to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have just not been something I asked, but I would imagine they would have screened it in Cleveland, or at least the Ohio connection.
You would think so.
Because it not only does it take place, but it was filmed in, like, Cleveland Heights and mm-hmm. Lakewood and all these areas around Cleveland. So if you know Cleveland, it would probably be a big deal. Kind of
that
like
would
the
be kind of fun to watch.
Well, they did the Battle of Shaker Heights. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that movie?
It's been a while.
It was a Project Greenlight movie.
Yep.
It most of those are terrible. but that one took place in Cleveland, and they didn't screen it locally, which I found really odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say, like, The Avengers was shot partly in Cleveland. But it's the
and
Avengers.
You can see those things.
Yeah.
You know, when I was watching Avengers, I saw the things that were in Cleveland.
You're like, look, it's a really big street. It's not New York.
Yeah.
but yeah, so Fun Size, it's produced by Nickelodeon. It's got a PG-13 rating,
mm-hmm.
which is odd.
A little bit, yeah.
To get the not just produced by Paramount, but mm-hmm. to get that Nickelodeon movies. And there's been a couple other ones they've done that have gotten PG-13, like Angus from the 90s. What I find odd about it is, and you'll learn this because your daughter will eventually get older and
she
that
will.
Happens. I've heard
I guess
that tends to occur with children.
Someday.
And she'll start watching TV shows that are...
Right.
And she'll get into them. And there's two big TV shows on Nickelodeon that are sort of like, they skew a little bit older than Hannah Montana from the Disney Channel.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sort of like 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
Ish. And that one's iCarly, and the other one's Victorious, which is Victoria Justice is in it.
My niece watches those.
Yeah, and they're
I
cute
know
little
all about
shows.
Those.
I love iCarly, actually. I think that's a hilarious show.
It's my niece's favorite show.
It's
right?
a great show.
That
it's,
and Phineas and Ferb, of course.
Phineas and Ferb is awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But what's weird about it is I would think the target market that would watch Victorious
mm-hmm.
would not be allowed to go to this because the parents would be like, well, it's PG-13. And if you look at the poster, it looks very Project X.
It does.
Really does.
Yeah. I thought it was a little edgier than PG-13.
It also has Johnny Knoxville and Chelsea Handler in it.
Right.
Who are not known for their children's programming.
Really?
At least not last time I checked.
Okay.
Chelsea Handler might have another
TV
show.
Chelsea Handler on Barney?
Was she? She could have been. Well, I don't see why Chelsea Handler's on anything. Except crack.
Just kidding.
No, I don't know. She's not on crack. I don't want to start a rumor here. But
that's
she probably,
just what we need, a lawsuit.
She should probably start. I'm pretty sure Chelsea Handler does not listen to this show.
She'd probably be okay if you said that, though.
She'd be like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's my impression of Chelsea Handler. It sounds great. Nice. You honestly thought that Chelsea Handler walked into the
Matrix. I know. I was surprised. I turned to see.
Yeah. But okay. I think that the kids that were that this is aiming for, which is looks like it's clearly going for more of a high school crowd,
mm-hmm.
they're going to see Victoria Justice. And although she's a beautiful woman, she's like 19 now, but she plays a kid. They're going to see Victoria Justice and they're going to see Nickelodeon star. They're going to see Nick movies on top, Nickelodeon mm-hmm. movies. They're going to be like, that's a kid's movie, so they're not going to go see it. That's my prediction.
It's a tough movie. And really, what have we seen about it? Nothing.
I saw a trailer for it when I went to go see the latest Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie.
Hmm. Yeah, because I haven't seen anything. I had to watch the trailer the other day just to see what it was.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and even then, it also, if you talk about sort of like that late night, all night shenanigans movie,
mm-hmm.
there is sort of that niche for that, which you've got stuff like, Dazed and Confused was like that. Can't mm-hmm. Hardly Wait was like that. The one they did, I think, last year, Take Me Home Tonight was like that.
All right, yeah.
These things have been made, but they're always either R-rated
yeah.
or very hard PG-13.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't think Can't Hardly Wait was R-rated, but it was definitely, I mean, you have drinking, teen right. sex, and all that kind of stuff happening. I just don't think anyone's going to go see this movie.
And it's too bad because it looks cute.
It does look kind of funny.
Yeah.
I'll get it eventually. I'll probably watch it with my kids later at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not. My son wanted to see it when we saw the trailer for it during yeah. Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
It looks like fun.
But it is probably going to have a fun-sized box office. It had preemptive suck because they didn't screen it.
Yes.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And our next movie is a surfing movie because nothing says Halloween like surfing.
Right.
And Gerard Butler. This is Chasing Mavericks, in which Gerard Butler mentors a kid as a surfer.
I haven't told this to anyone, so you have to keep it a secret. Mavericks is real.
Mavericks.
Maybe the biggest wave in the world.
No one believes it.
I swear, it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
I want to ride that wave.
That wave is a myth, and the four of us who surf it intend to keep it that way.
Train me then.
One wrong turn, and you're hitting the water like concrete at 50 miles an hour.
That boy's going to surf that wave anyway. Even if he dies trying, wouldn't you?
King Leonidas, surfing.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a lot of surfing in Scotland.
Well, they might. There's an ocean there.
It's awfully cold and rocky.
Well, but that's the Scottish people.
But then again, you know, so is Cleveland, and people surf in Cleveland, so.
That's true. Not that they would screen it in Cleveland and let us know about
no.
it.
No.
Anyways, I have to say, Chasing Mavericks, another one, they did not screen.
Right.
They didn't show it to us. And it was one where I emailed the publicist, and it was kind of like a, no, we're not screening that.
Yeah, right.
This is done by Walden Media, and Walden Media does some decent stuff. You know, they did.
What have we seen from them lately?
Well, lately, I can't remember what I've seen lately, but they've done movies like the Narnia movies, and they a lot of children's book adaptations. Like, they did Bridget Terabithia, and whenever you see.
Was this a children's book?
I don't think it's based on a true story.
It's
about a guy who wants to surf the biggest, most extreme wave, dude.
Dude.
Have to throw that in there.
Gnarly.
And then Gerard Butler mentors him. It doesn't feel. If this is a summer movie, or at the very least,
it's
September.
Spring.
Yeah.
I could see it in the spring.
Yeah, it just seems lost. It's almost like they're like, let's see, where should we put here? And they just kind of.
Yeah, right before Halloween. There's a good idea.
Nothing says scary surfing like, you know, this is. Surfing! And he kicks somebody into a pit.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say.
I look forward to seeing that in this movie.
This looks terrible. it looks like this faux emotional.
So what kind of fake accent is Gerard Butler going to mangle this time? That's what I would like to know.
I have a feeling Gerard Butler at this point just does his own accent. And it's the level of drunkenness. That relieves reveals his accent.
Because, yeah, he keeps trying, and it just doesn't work.
I like Gerard Butler.
I do, too. But I wish he would just stick with his own accent and run with it, because whenever he tries to do a different accent, it's a mess.
Yeah, he's a little bit like Noomi Rapace that way.
Yeah. Jerry, stick with a Scottish accent.
They need to take Gerard Butler and Noomi Rapace and have them star as, like, lovers from Brooklyn. That would be awesome. Well, Chasing Mavericks gets a preemptive suck. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a movie we did see, Cloud Atlas.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about Cloud Atlas now. This is the one I've been kind of waiting to talk about because it's...
I think we could talk about this for a couple weeks and still not cover it all.
It's intense. Yeah. So before we get started, let's play the trailer. It is a movie in which six intertwined stories over the years deal with themes of freedom, oppression, and slavery.
Yesterday, my life was headed in one direction. Today, it is headed in another.
You ever think the universe was against you?
Fear, belief, love, phenomena that determine the course of our lives. These forces begin long before we are born and continue after we perish.
You go first.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah, that's what I got from it. Also, lots of pretty pictures.
I'm still trying to figure it out. Yes. And I think I will for the next 5 years. No matter how many times I watch this movie, I will not know what it is about.
Writing this blurb was really hard. It reminded me of when I had to write the blurb for, The Golden Compass?
Oh, yeah.
And I do, like, radio calls, and I call in, and they'd be like, what's this movie? Like, Iron Man. You're like, well, it's a guy who makes a suit out of iron, and he fights crime. Boom. There you go. That's Iron Man. When I try to do Golden Compass, I'm like, well, it's this thing with this girl, and then there's snow, and this wicked polar bear fight, and then there's something to do with religion, but I didn't quite get it, and yeah, that's what it's about.
That is pretty much how this one goes, yeah.
There's no wicked polar bear fight, though.
No.
So
it does have Jim Broadbent, though.
He's great.
And he's crazy.
What did you think of it?
You know, it's pretentious and totally self-indulgent, but I liked it.
It's pretentious. This is going to be really weird. It is pretentious, but not in a pretentious way.
Right.
I mean,
I know what you mean, and you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they know they're you know, playing with themselves.
Right.
With this movie, they, as opposed to like Tree of Life, which is just, I'm an artist and I'm going to make this movie.
Now, the funny thing about this is that it starts out with a shot of the stars.
Yeah.
And I leaned over to Jason Zingali from Bullseye, who was sitting by me, and I said, oh, it's the creation of the universe scene.
And then it pans down, and it goes into Castaway with Tom Cruise.
Right.
Or, I mean, with Tom Hanks.
Right. So yeah, you know, it was one of those movies that there's so much going on, and you don't really know how it's all connected and what's going on, except, you know, all the cast is the same, just in different makeup.
Yeah.
But I was so captivated that I wanted to keep watching and see where it all comes together and how it all works out in the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I was necessarily completely satisfied in the end, but I enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of this movie. It's more an experience than really the stories and the point.
Yeah, because really when you boil it down, it is these six stories. Mm-hmm. I think six.
Yeah.
There are these six stories. And each individual story is relatively straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more or less trying to figure out how they connect and, wait, is this the same person or do they change forms or who's this? And it does get indulgent.
Yeah.
And there's some casting that's kind of iffy. Tom Hanks was unimpressive to me in this.
Yeah, he didn't play a major part in anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, he was the hero in a couple of them. And what's neat about it, though, is people went back and forth. There are a couple through lines where, like, Hugo Weaving was the villain in every single one. And Hugh
and of
Grant
course he
was,
would be.
Yeah, and Hugh Grant was kind of, he was kind of
a bad
guy. He was
kind of Hugh Grant.
Yeah, he was either the foppish Hugh Grant or just the kind of mean spirit, but he was still kind of this charming
Hugh
jerk.
Grant. Yeah.
But Tom Hanks, he did show up in other
in
episodes.
All of them.
Yeah, and he was insane.
And I think that was kind of the distracting thing for me, is that you spend so much time trying to figure out who's under that makeup.
Yeah.
That you kind of lose parts of the story because you're like, oh, who is this woman nurse?
Yeah. It took me probably a good hour. It's a 2-hour, 40-minute movie, I think, 240, 250,
it's three.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It took that first hour to just kind of be like, okay, trying to just frame it in my mind. What is this movie about? What are they trying to do? And really, as I took it, it's just these six stories, and they are interconnected. And they're all relatively simple stories with similar themes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not just separate stories. They're shot with different styles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a contemporary one with Jim Broadbent, which is one of my favorites.
And it's completely wacky, and it's like a caper.
It's this weird little – it's sort of like, you know, like Waking Ned Divine or one of these weird British movies with old people.
Yeah.
And it's sort of whimsical and fun. Mm-hmm. And that one was really... And then there are ones...
You know, there's a mystery from the 70s. Yeah. And then there's the futuristic sci-fi movie. And yeah, it was... There was a lot going on.
Yeah. And it was... It's one of those that, unlike something, and a lot of people... I'm comparing it to Tree of Life because... When the trailer first hit, people were like, who knew me, were like, oh, Kevin, you're going to hate this because you hate A Tree of Life. And I'm like, well, I like the Wachowskis. Mm-hmm. Even their crap's pretty decent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm not terribly familiar with Tom Twyker, but I like Run, Lola, Run.
He did do The International, which was very boring.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I'll forgive him for that because he did Run, Lola, Run.
Well, The International to me was one of those that it's like its biggest. It was on the waning edge of mediocre. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't like I didn't hate it.
It was just boring.
But I forgot about it until you just mentioned it to me.
Well, there you go.
I was somewhat fascinated with this movie. I was really interested
in
it. And it kept me interested. And it moves faster. It has some slow parts, but it moves.
But not a lot, I really love the transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to see how they would choose to transition from one story to the next. And sometimes it goes really fast.
And they have – this is something Nick Harum from – it's Movie Time. Oh, it was
On the Marquee.
Oops. Yeah. Nick Harum, he mentioned to me that – and I'm like, you're right. When they had narration, usually the narration was a person from another story and then it'd spill over and connect to it. It's really
It was really clever.
So I liked it. I don't know how well it's going to be digested by a mainstream audience, though.
Right. It's not a mainstream movie. Yeah.
So actually, that's a great way. Well, first of all, Fat Guy's great. Sucks, rocks, kind of sucks, kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
For me, I'm going to say it actually rocks because I have a feeling as the more I think about it, the more I'm going to like it.
Yeah, it could be. I'm going to hedge my bets on this one for now.
Okay. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and this is a great time to talk about the box office because... this is the big one. I think the other three are sort of nothing movies this week.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, last year you had Paranormal Activity 4 come in with a – even though it's impressive for the, you know, the $6 it cost to make the movie.
Nice.
Paranormal Activity 4 only got $29 million, which was the low end of the low end.
Yeah.
Because the last one, I think, made $52 million its opening weekend. And then they were Friday, after the Friday numbers came out, they were saying, oh, it's going to make like low 30s. And it just came in lower.
Yeah. People are checking out. You know, it's the fourth one.
And it's kind of boring. I mean, as a fourth installment, you know, it's better than like, you know, Leprechaun in Space. But
nice.
There you go. And I think the genre is
Paranormal Activity 5 in Space.
Paranormal Activity 5 in Mexico is where they're going.
Because
they had a little tag at the end. Spoiler alert. anyways, that one didn't do very well, and I think it's going to just plummet because the other ones, they make half their money the first weekend. They're like a Twilight movie in terms of box office. But Argo held well with $16.5 million.
Yay.
Taken 2 and Hotel Transylvania were kind of a horse race at $13 million each.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Alex Cross just sinking and dying at $11.4 million. I heard the numbers on that were that – nobody who cared about Alex Cross went to see the movie. The only people who went to see it were pretty much Tyler Perry fans.
That makes sense.
And even then, you're sort of like, it just had to be the diehard, the people who really just like Tyler Perry because he wasn't.
Well, yeah, because he's not dressed in drag.
He wasn't Madea.
Right.
So, and then Sinister did 8.8, and then Here Comes the Boom at 8.4, which is funny because that is, that this week is going to become the most listened to review on my site because
that's true.
My
yeah.
pull quote. What do you think is going to win this weekend? Do you think Cloud Atlas is going to take it?
You know, considering what else is out there, I'm going to give it to Cloud Atlas.
Well, it's got to. I mean, if you figure Paranormal Activity 4 will hemorrhage and it'll be less than half, so it's going to be in the low teens. And Argo, even if Argo holds well, it's still going to be in the low teens.
Right.
So all
I think it's going to be a slow week in general.
Cloud Atlas just has to make like $14 million to win the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will. I think there's a lot of interest in it.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know how much legs it's going to have just because it is so difficult. It's complex and difficult to digest.
Well, you know, personally, I think I need to watch it 5 more times. So
that's the
And you know, I'm okay with that. Some of the movies like that, then I'm like, I have to watch it again to make sense of it, and I don't want to. But this one, I will sit through again, even though it's really long.
It's long.
I'll sit through it again because I'm that interested in what's going on in it.
Yeah, I'm actually eagerly waiting the Blu-ray. I probably won't see it again in theaters, but
yeah,
I'll get the Blu-ray. Anyways,
I'm keeping my
go.
Fingers crossed for a screener.
Yes. We got to go when we come back. DVD Roundup.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We have our
fun-sized Kevin Carr.
Fun-sized Kevin Carr.
Yes.
We have our DVD roundup. There you go.
That's right. Yeehaw!
You got your whip out. Nice.
Somehow we went into deliverance mode for some reason. I pulled out a banjo instead of like a guitar.
You never know what you'll find each week on Fat Guys at the Movies.
It's sort of like Hermione's TARDIS purse that she had. You just reach in and you grab something. You don't know what it is.
You never know.
I like how many pop culture references did I make in that one thing? I like two in just like one line.
It was pretty impressive, really.
And nobody knows what a TARDIS purse is.
I do.
You do.
I do. Of course
awesome.
I do.
Anyways.
Okay, so DVDs.
DVDs this week. There's actually some neat ones.
Yeah.
There's less on television. Television's kind of waned down because all the new seasons started.
Mm-hmm.
But for movies, you've got Blade Runner, the 30th anniversary Blu-ray.
Yes.
You a big Blade Runner fan?
Not really.
No?
No.
I mean, you've seen
not
it,
as much as you.
I'm not a... Well, you know what's funny? I'm not a crazy Blade Runner
fan. No.
I like it. I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a neat movie, but it's not... I like Alien better in terms of Ridley Scott science fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Although there is word that he was trying to sort of shoehorn Prometheus into that universe.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Which, I think that would work. Because you've got the replicant technology.
I don't know. I'm still not sure what was going on in Prometheus.
Well,
but
yeah.
That's another show for a different day.
Totally different thing. There's also Secret of the Wings.
Yes.
I saw you had a copy of that.
Yes, and we both watched it the other night.
It's actually, I have to say, I like the Tinkerbell movies.
I don't mind them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love them. Tinkerbell sometimes gets on my nerves a little bit.
I have always kind of had a thing for Tinkerbell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've always kind of...
You like the feisty fairies?
I do. Mm. She's really cute. Well, and there's a scene in Peter Pan, in the original Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
Well, not the original. It's the Disney Peter
right.
Pan. Right. Where they make constant jokes that her butt's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where she's like looking at it in a mirror. And I never got it as a kid, but as an adult, I'd watch it. I'm like, oh, that's actually really funny because she's very self-conscious about her butt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she has to get through a keyhole at one point and her butt's too big and she gets stuck. And I'm like, oh.
Poor Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell's got some junk in the trunk.
She's got body image issues.
Yes, but she is adorable. And the thing is with what I like about the Tinkerbell movies is they're not as just sort of vacuous as the princess stories sometimes can get.
Okay.
The movies
are
okay.
You know, they are creative.
Yeah.
I love the world that the fairies live in.
Yes.
You know, they have all these creative little inventions, and I like that part of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute, and mm-hmm. I think it's something that... And they also kind of... I mean, it's pretty much a girls' movie, but it does... It has a couple things that are... It's not just, you know, flowers and...
No.
Sprinkles and all that kind of thing. They actually have a story to them. And the 3D in this one, actually, I thought looked really
good. It's pretty good. Not bad.
They're pushing the 3D of this. And it's worth getting if you have a 3D player. Actually, if you don't, if you can find it for like just a couple bucks get the 3D because eventually you'll get a 3D
mm-hmm.
television. But yeah, I really like Secret of the Wings. I like all the Tinkerbell movies. I think they're very cute. And then there's the biopic that's out this week. It's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Nice.
Which makes a fantastic companion piece to Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
It's true.
Which comes out, in a couple weeks?
Yeah.
So you can watch them both and you can
then
you can decide.
Now it makes sense.
You're like, okay, which one's more realistic? The one where a vampire throws a horse at Abraham Lincoln?
That sounds about right.
Or the one with Daniel Day-Lewis, that hack. Did you see Abraham Lincoln?
I read the book.
Oh, you did? Is the book good?
The book was kind of dry.
Is it a book or a graphic novel?
It's a book.
Oh, it is a book. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a little dry. I thought there was a little too much historical stuff, and just the tone of it was a little bit dry. And, you know, I was looking for more vampire action.
Yeah.
But
they have it in there. It does have some pacing and plot issues, which, and I don't know how much of that is attributable to the source material.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It was fun
to see. I did want to see it.
It's kind of just, it's an absolute absurdity, Mary Todd Lincoln, who's played by Elizabeth Winstead, she's okay. I don't know. They kind of... The problem with Mary Todd Lincoln is they hated each other in reality. I think Mary Todd and Abraham Lincoln did not like each other.
Okay.
And that was... So he got kind of absorbed in his works.
And that was not in the book.
Yeah. So I've heard historically they, they never really got along.
I hate this woman that I am married to.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of hard to then bring her in as that... Because then you just kind of turn into cheesiness. So,
did you expect something other than cheesiness from this movie? Really?
Well, yeah, I guess not. I guess it was exactly what I expected.
Okay.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're doing DVDs and Blu-rays. And the next one that they've got out this week is Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which is very appropriately timed for 2012.
Right.
Which is odd because if you actually get the Blu-ray... Mm-hmm. It has a digital copy, and the digital copy code expires, like, in 2017.
Nice.
So they're not even believing their themselves. Did you like this movie?
I did. It's one of those odd little movies that completely defies categorization.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wacky road trip movie, and it's a romantic comedy, and, you know, it's a drama about the end of the world. And
everyone dies.
Just,
it's the end of the world.
So, you know, it's an odd movie. But I still enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah. It's a very typical Focus Features movie, mm-hmm. is the way mm-hmm. I would say it, where there are some studios that kind of have a certain flavor to their movies.
Yeah.
And this was a little more mainstream, but not quite.
Yeah, it wasn't quite so mainstream.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay. And then there was Magic Mike.
Oh, yes.
I know you're a big fan of that movie.
I was, actually.
Ugh. Blah. It's not even like the stripper part. It's just, I mean, I love strippers.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Now, there are some dull moments in this movie, and, you know, the acting isn't always the best. But
it's like, say, it's like his clothes aren't always on.
It's true. But it was entertaining. And I think on the Blu-ray, the special features on the Blu-ray.
Are they good?
I was highly entertained because they have more of the deleted scenes, and it's only just the dance numbers, which the dance numbers were the fun part of the movie. They were so creative.
They were well shot. Have you ever been to a male review?
No.
I want somebody to know, because what's funny is, you know, I have some gay friends, and I've asked them, mm-hmm. and I never found somebody who'd been to one, and it's very different, you know, because they don't want to, a lot of times they don't want a gay man coming into the male review because they want it for the women.
Mm-hmm.
So I could never get a straight answer as, are these performances really this elaborate?
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I could believe that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you've seen Flashdance, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the thing that's so ridiculously unbelievable in Flashdance is she's basically working in pre-strip clubs. And I mean, the design of these dance numbers that has, you're like, it's like burlesque, same thing. You have these things where you're like, they're like, we don't have any money to keep the theater going, but we spent $50,000 on set design for one number that we're going to play once. But I could see, I could imagine male reviews being this elaborate. Because I don't know if you've ever been to a female strip club.
I haven't.
You should go.
I know.
It's awesome.
I almost did when we were in New York. We were going to go, and I don't know. My friend wouldn't let me go.
It's fun. But the thing is, the girls on stage, they just literally get on stage, and they don't even dance. They just kind of move around and then take their clothes off. It's about seeing the breasts.
Well, yeah.
And other things.
Guys and girls are a little bit different that way.
Yeah. So I did not like Magic Mike. I just was bored. And it's not because of the stripper scenes.
And I love Matthew McConaughey. I mean, how funny is he? That is the role that he was born to play.
That is his role, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. But what I didn't like, I hated Coke. Is it Cody Horn? Is that the
role? Oh, she's terrible.
She is the worst actress on the planet. They need to cast her.
But you know what? She's related to one of the studio executives, I think I read.
Because she showed up on The Office.
That explains a lot.
She was awful in The Office. I would love to see Cody Horn and Kristen Stewart do like a buddy cop movie. And there was this giant black hole of acting would open up and just suck in the entire entertainment industry.
And perhaps they could get hit by a bus.
Maybe. That would be awesome. I would watch that. I would pay to watch that. There's also Wrong Turn 5, which...
You know, strangely, I missed that one.
It's a fifth movie.
Yeah.
Leprechaun in the Hoods with mutant cannibals in West Virginia, so... That one's not that good.
Hmm.
Anyways, on TV, you've got Happy Endings, season mm-hmm. two, which is a cute little show.
It is.
And long.
I was actually on the set while they were filming once.
Oh, awesome!
Last fall,
did you just sneak in.
We were doing the Paramount tour.
Oh, okay.
And they just happened to be filming that day. And our tour guide was like, well, we're probably not supposed to be where we are right now, but we'll just stay and watch.
If you can get in the studio, it's amazing what you can wander onto.
Oh, yeah. We wandered around the set. And
I wandered onto the set of Drew Carey when I was in the studio.
There was a copy of one of the scripts there.
Ooh.
And our tour guide was like, you should probably hide that if you have it, but they've already filmed this, so if you want to take it, go. And I grabbed it and, like, threw it in my purse and ran.
Nice. Nice. There's also Law & Order Criminal Intent Season 8, you know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The stinker of the week is Medea's witness protection, which
speaking of Tyler Perry.
Awful. I mean, it's bad when you're relying.
And that was one that you were looking forward to, even.
I thought it could be good because I'm like, I kind of want to see just an all-Medea movie without the angst and the gospel play melodrama.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. If you got to rely on Denise Richards for comic relief, it's a bad thing. Anyways, we got a little bit of time left. We're going to just wrap it up here. We had Chasing Mavericks, Fun Size, and Silent Hill Revelation all get preemptive suck because they didn't screen it very much anywhere on the planet. There's also Cloud Atlas, which you said kind of rocks. I said it rocks.
Yep.
Next week, we've got Flight, The Man with the Iron Fist, and Wreck-It Ralph. Till then, folks, have a happy Halloween.